give to his holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard his children. In his arms, he'll carry them all day long. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song. Praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. For our sins he suffered and bled and died. He our rock, our hope of eternal salvation. Hail him, Jesus the crucified. Shout his praises, Jesus who bore our sorrows. Love unbounded, wonderful, deep and strong. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song. Praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Heavenly portals loud with hosannas ring. Jesus, Savior, reigneth forever and ever. Crown him, prophet and priest and king. Christ is coming over the world victorious. Power and glory unto the Lord belong. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. Y'all can be seated. Welcome. We're delighted to have you here today. We have a few visitors, and we have several family members who are here for this day because it's Mother's Day to visit with family, and you're welcome to be here, and we're thankful for you coming to visit with us. We always appreciate when people are out of town and they go to church. It's easy to just stay home because it's not your home church, you know, and that sort of thing. We're delighted to have visitors. We're glad you're here. Thank you for coming. Carol's got family here today. Good to see you. Nice to have you with us today. And Carl, you got a whole pew full of people back there. Are these people all related to you? And Kim and Terry brought our visitors here because they're church members somewhere else, but they came and brought visitors here today. Delighted. Glad to have you. And met Sarah and her husband. They've been here one time before. She went to church with Fabio up in Maryland. And delighted to have y'all here today. And Cindy's got her two daughters and their families here today. We're glad to have you. And Rhonda, good to have you back with us. We hadn't seen you in a while. Good to have you here. And, well, welcome to everybody. Several of you could be here every Sunday, and you ought to be. But several people from out of town, and we welcome you and thank you for coming today. May the Lord bless you. And happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. And we appreciate the ministry of all the ladies, whether you're a mother or not, in the church. Women play a big part of the ministry in the church, especially to the children and to other ladies. As a man, I don't care how much I study the Bible or how long I've been a pastor or what experience I've had, I still can't know what it feels like to be a woman. Now, I know what it feels like to give birth. I know what it feels like to give birth. I've had 6 kidney stones. And I've been through that walking the floor for hours in pain and then giving birth, you know. It's a lot the same. The last Sunday month, we have an afterglow the last Sunday night, and we have food and enjoy each other's company. And on that night, we'll have a shower for Candace. Candace is having a boy, and she's registered at Walmart. So don't forget about the shower on the last Sunday night of the month. It's not long till Father's Day on June 16th, and families are important in the church, and we are concerned about us all walking with the Lord and raising our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and we need God's help. We need the Bible. We need one another. We need to be encouraged and be given instruction. So thank you all for being here in church today. There's no service tonight, but there is a lunch to follow the noon service. As soon as we get out here at noon, go down to the gym. I'm hoping and praying the showers will hold off for us to get down there with a dry head. And if we absolutely have to, we'll pull a bus up here and drive you down. But there'll be a meal there, and then there's no service tonight. So God bless all of you. Happy Mother's Day. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. I want to appreciate Bob Reed filling in this morning. We had two ladies who are Hispanic who showed up thinking we had a Spanish service. They liked the looks of the church going back and forth to work, and they thought we had a service, so they came. And we didn't have anybody here who could speak Spanish but Bob and Betty. And so Bob sat back with them in the back and interpreted Sunday school for them, and then recommended them to go over to Brother Cuesta's church maybe for the preaching service. So thanks for doing that. And would you lead us in prayer today and bless the service?
Of life, oh, wisdom of Why don't you join us in standing this morning and welcome somebody to church.
Song number 452. Turn there with me. 452. Sorry, I got stuck talking for once. 452. Mother's Day, and we're thankful for our mother's love and everything that they do for us. But there's someone who has so much more amazing love, and we're going to sing about that this morning on the first, second, and the last verses together.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. On the second verse, for me it was in the garden, he prayed not my will but thine. He had no tears for his own griefs, but sweat drops of blood for mine. How marvelous, how wonderful, then my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how
the last. When with a ransomed in glory, His face I at last shall see. 'Twill be my joy through the ages to sing of His love for me. Wonderful singing this morning. You may be seated.
I have a note up here that says, I suspect this is from Donna Hance. VSS, work day tomorrow in the gym from 10 to 1. Is that right? That's accurate? 10 to 1. And it's to work on stuff for VBS, right? Okay. Sign-up sheet, we're out on the table in the foyer. Okay. That way she'll kind of know how many to expect.
Well, that's what just helpers
get. Oh, the helpers for the VBS, the sign-up sheet's out there.
We have okay. 11 signed up right now, but anybody else that can and is able, the more help, the better. So if you can sign up and be able to help us that week for VBS, we appreciate it.
Last year we probably had 30 workers. All total 40. And we had over 200 here at one night. So we can use all the help we can get and allows us to reach out more with the bus and things like that if we need to if we have enough workers. So VBS is coming up soon. Camp for the seniors is coming up soon. And Wesley and Olivia went on vacation last week and went to Pensacola to the college and that's where the camp's going to be this year, so they got it mapped out good, know where to go and what to do and all that, how to get sun and all those things they learn how to do. I'm going to have to get you to quit following your dad and mom around. Went to Hawaii on their honeymoon, stayed gone, come back with sun, and now to Pensacola to meet his brother and his mom and dad and all them. And he uses vacation like he wants to. I'm just picking at him. We're glad all of you are here. Glad Samuel and Mercy got moved yesterday with their kids. And thank you to everybody who helped. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We had enough help that it went real quick. And nobody was really overloaded about it. Jason worked real hard inside the truck. It was hot in there. But everybody helped, and we thank you all so much. Okay, we're going to pray and ask the Lord to bless the service today. And again, happy Mother's Day. And even if you didn't come prepared, we invite you to stay and eat lunch with us today. There'll be barbecue and chicken and all the things that folks have brought. We call fixings. You know what they used to call that? Truck. Truck was food. And I'm not sure exactly where the name was. They had to ship it in, you know, from places to cities. But they didn't have trucks back then. They had buggies and horses and wagons and stuff. But we should have some good truck. So come and eat. Randy, lead us in, Larry, your name's not Randy. Your name's Gary. Lead us in prayer, please.
Lord, we do thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your blessings. We do thank you today, especially for godly mothers who set the right example in their home and raise their children to serve the Lord. And Lord, today we do pray for somebody here that knows not the Lord Jesus as their Savior, that today they might put their faith and trust in Him. Lord, we pray to be a pastor. Preaches, just give him good recall. Lift him up, encourage him. Lord, may the message speak to hearts. Lord, we do pray that you might bless this offering. Use it for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you.
This morning we have a special treat. Julia Curtis and Olivia will be singing a special this morning, and she came up to Olivia and I a little over a month ago, maybe a month and a half ago, and she was like, "Can I sing with Miss Olivia?" And I was like, absolutely, and I couldn't have picked a better day for it than on Mother's Day morning. So I hope that it's a blessing to you. A song entitled, "I Can Pray."
You say I'm not able, I'm too young or I'm too old, and I can't sing or teach, and no title do I hold. What can I do? For I want to do my part, and I want to help the hurting with all of my heart. I can pray until the walls come down, until there's healing all around. That's something I can do. I can pray in my secret place, calling on your name. That's something I can do. I can pray.
My family shows no interest. Child has gone so far, though I've tried my best to reach them. Their hearts just seem so hard. Lord, what can I do to help bring them back to you? For my family's lost and dying, and my words just don't get through.
I can pray until the walls come down, until there's healing.
Good. I remind you, there's no service tonight. The work day tomorrow for VBS, if you can come and help. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of 2 Kings. The Old Testament chapter of Kings, 2 Kings chapter 4. And I'll begin reading in verse number 8 about the great woman of Shunem. There's an amazing story here that I want to share with you today about the life of a prophet named Elisha. Sometimes folks have a little while to get understanding of the difference between Elijah the prophet and Elisha the prophet. Elijah was first, and he was a great prophet of God. Elisha was his servant or his co-minister. And then when Elijah was taken up into heaven, Elisha took over as the prophet of God to the nation of Israel, and he was greatly used of the Lord. Elijah was a prophet during the age of a wicked king, Ahab, and his wicked wife, Jezebel. And God did great miracles by his hand. About 8 major miracles are recorded in the life of Elijah. And the most notable is probably when he made a debate between himself as the prophet of God and the 400 prophets of Baal. And they set up an altar with an animal on it for a sacrifice. And he said, "Let's pray and see whose God answers." And they prayed and they cut themselves with stones and they did everything they could do and there was no answer. And Elijah prayed to God, and God sent fire down and not only consumed the sacrifice, but he had them pour barrels of water on it and build a moat around it, and it licked up all the water as well. And then he slew the prophets of Baal.
And Jezebel sought his life because of that. That was about the most notable of the miracles that Elijah did. When Elisha was ready to take over, he told Elijah he wanted a double portion of the Spirit that was upon him. Now, the Holy Spirit is a person. He's not a thing. You don't get a gallon or a quart. And so a double portion came to be that God allowed Elisha to have a ministry with at least 16 notable miracles, where Elijah had about 8 notable miracles. And we're looking at one of those today. Look at 2 Kings 4, verse 8. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem. There was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. So it was that oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, "Behold, now I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passes by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in thither. And it fell on a day that came thither, he turned unto the chamber and lay there. And he said unto Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Will thou be spoken for the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among mine own people. In other words, she was satisfied where she was. And he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, verily she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he said, call her. And when he called her, she stood in the door. And he said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. Let's pray. Father, as we look into your word today, I've asked you to help me to help your people today. Encourage them, feed them through the word, draw them close to yourself. Help us all, Lord, to seek to draw close to you that we might confess our sins and forsake our sins and get that fresh cleansing that you offer unto us through faith and by the blood of Jesus Christ. Bless the message today, Lord. Stir us all to be people of faith and people of prayer. And may people say about us that we are great people because of our faith in thee. We ask for your help in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Elisha travels up to Mount Carmel from his home, and he passes through Shunem. And this would be a great place for him to stop and to rest as he was going on his journey. And this woman makes a place for him. She's hospitable. She's referred to simply as a great woman. No name is given. And she's great in many ways, no doubt. She becomes a mother, but when Elisha meets her, she has no son. And he promises her to have a child. She's great in her hospitality, helping the man of God. Great in her perception that this man is a holy man of God, and she wants her husband to help. No doubt she's a woman of wealth, and I suspect that's the reason for the description of a great woman. But like Mary, who said when she was told she would give birth to the Savior, how can this be, seeing I know not a man? This woman is saying, don't lie to me. You know, there. Her anguish that not having a child and wanting a child, she didn't want the prophet to tell her anything that wasn't going to happen. It caused her to question a little bit and wonder how this would have to be a miracle that she was going to have a child. The same was true with Sarah in questioning how, as an old woman, that she could give birth to a son at 90 years of age and her husband at 100 years of age. And the only way you can do that is by the miracle of God. Just like Jesus was born of Virgin Mary without relations with a man. Therefore, he did not have a sinful nature as all of us have because of our connection to Adam, who sinned against God, and all of his descendants have a sin nature because of that. But Christ did not have a sin nature, and therefore he could offer himself to pay for our sins, and he willingly laid down his life for us all. Now this woman, first of all, is called a great woman. She fed the prophet and his servant, and she had great hospitality. Even before she knew he was the holy man that he is, she knew he was a speaker for God, and so she invited him to eat here. And as she discerned what he was like, she wanted to build him a chamber. Now that prophet's chamber has carried through from this passage in the Bible till today. Churches all over this country have prophets' chambers, a room somewhere where visiting preachers can stay the night and stay the week if they're holding a revival meeting and things of that. Some wealthy church members often have an extra room in their home, and they designate that as a prophet's chamber for a guest preacher in their area to be able to spend a night and to stay over. We would have built a prophet's chamber a long time ago, but we don't have any empty rooms to turn into a motel room. We use every room we have in the building and in the gym. And of course, the codes of the city of Fort Mill wouldn't allow us to just do that. We have to go through all the drawings, architectural drawings, all those kind of things to do something like that. So the prophet's chamber is established here for the man of God. And it's not big, it's not much. It's just a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. He didn't need much. He's just going to stay a night here on his journey. And she fed him, gave him bread, and he appreciated it. And his servant is with him, and there was a place provided for them. And they appreciated that. Now he sends for the woman, and he asks what it is that she would like for him to do for her. Should I speak to the king for you, or to the captain of the host? He makes an assumption that she would want something back for what he's doing for her. A prophet of God didn't have a lot of money. He didn't have a lot of resources or anything of that nature, but he had things he could do for her. And she said, I dwell among my own people. I'm satisfied as I am. And his servant says, Master, she has no child, and her husband's an old man. So immediately he tells her, about this time next year, you'll have a son. Boy, this shakes her up. Elijah had ministered to the widow of Zarephath, and her son had fallen sick after God used him to miraculously feed them all three during a time of famine. The son fell sick and died, and Elijah raised him from the dead. And now Elisha is to have a similar experience. Women who've prayed for sons, great women who are women of faith. Hannah was a woman who married a man of Ephraim, and he had two wives. The other wife had children, and she was favored because of that. And so Hannah was grieved, and she went down to the temple to pray where the prophet was. And she got on her knees, and her lips were moving, but he couldn't hear her saying anything. He accused her of being drunk. Christians should never be drunk. Christians should not be drinkers of alcohol, beer or wine or liquor or any of those things. All of those are in the Bible, strong drink. I heard a radio host this morning when I was coming in saying it was time for him to get his annual Jack and Coke, Jack Daniel's liquor and Coca-Cola. Let me tell you something, friends. Christians got no business in that kind of lifestyle. God delivers us from that kind of sin, and we shouldn't go back into it. Hannah was not drunk like the prophet supposed. She was just silent. She was moving her lips. She was praying. She was grieved in agony that she didn't have a child. And when the prophet figured out what was going on, he told her the Lord would give her a son. And she came back to the temple at the time that the boy was old enough to wean and had him to be raised in the house of God, because she promised God, if you give me a son, I'll give him back to you. And that was Samuel the prophet that the books of 1 and 2 Samuel are written by. And he was a great prophet and priest of God and was greatly used. Where did he come from? He came from a little woman on her knees praying and asking God. It's our responsibility to raise our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Moms and dads, God help us to be the kind of people that we need to be. to raise up our children in the right way and to lead them in the way of God. Now, not every woman has children. Many who don't have prayed and asked the Lord to give them a child. And I can't tell you all the reasons why you may not have a child. But women have a mother's instinct if they have children or not. And they have nieces and nephews and neighbors and church kids. And they can minister to them and help them in a way that probably a man can't do. And God can use you greatly in ministering unto them. Paul mentions over 20 people that helped him in the ministry. He commends them in the book of Romans, chapter 16. And the first one on the list is Phoebe, who was a servant of the church. And he commends her and tells the people to receive her and help her in any way her ministry requires. And then he tells about a husband and wife named Aquila and Priscilla, and how they laid down their own lives for him, risked their life for him. They had a church in their house. They were being ministers for Christ. They weren't called as Paul was to be the same as Paul was, but they were busy in ministry for the Lord and great helpers. He spoke of Mary. He spoke of Junia, a kinsman who was a prisoner. He spoke of two ladies. Any of you ladies that get expecting and you want to name your daughters, here's your two good Bible names, Tryphena and Tryphosa. I'm sure you want to write those down and remember. And Persis, who was probably a woman of Persia. And then he mentions Rufus' mother. Now that's eight, but he probably mentions a couple of more. And I don't know whether it's a man's name or a woman's name. I didn't take the time to go back and look it up and detail it. But he mentions a number of women who were busy in the ministry, and he commends them because of that. God help us to have women in the church that are women of prayer, women who lead a godly life, women who set an example, women who want their children. Like this woman, the great woman of Shunem, wanted this child desperately. When he fell sick, she pleads for him. I hope women today want their children, unlike this woman on the news that faked a kidnapping and then threw her child down a ravine still in the car seat to kill it because she didn't want to have to raise that child. Do you know you can go to any fire department of any city and give them a child and say, I don't want this child anymore, and they'll take that child and turn it over to the proper services. That's an availability for them to do that at a police station or a fire department. You don't have to kill your children if you don't want your children anymore. And there's people out there that want children, beg for children, spend thousands of dollars to adopt children. There's no reason for people to have an unnatural affection, but that's part of the latter days that people will be without natural affection. And this girl tried to say that she'd been kidnapped and she got away and they took her daughter. And fortunately, some lady went out in the mailbox in the early hours of the morning. She heard a baby crying off in the distance. And she got help and they found this child and it was okay. It wasn't even hurt or broke up or anything. But that's sad that we live in a day when women would do something like that with children. God help us to be ladies and gentlemen in this church that want your children and that pray for children. They're the heritage of the Lord. They're a gift from God. And that we set the right example for them and raise them in the right way. When Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, he mentioned the sincere faith that Timothy had that first his mother and grandmother had, Lois and Eunice, in 2 Timothy 1:5. This woman of Shunem was called a great woman. It's pretty obvious from the whole story with her husband that they were well-to-do. She had great insight or perception to know the man of God was a holy man. She had great hospitality. She was generous and kind to care for this man who was a traveler passing through. She had great peace to dwell among her own people and didn't feel like she had a need that the prophet would speak for her about. She was unselfish and content and satisfied. But oh, she did want a child. And whether Gehazi had found that out in conversation or whether he just observed that, he told his master, the prophet, she has no child and her husband's an old man. And so immediately the man of God prophesies that she will give birth to a child. One day, The boy gets up a few years old enough to go out and see his daddy working in the fields. It begins in verse 18. The child was grown. It fell on a day. He went out to his father, to the reapers, and he said unto his father, "My head, my head." He said, "The lad, carry him to his mother." When he had taken him, brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon, then died. When she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out, put him in the little prophet's chamber. And she called unto her husband and said, "Send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again." He said, "Wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It's neither new moon nor Sabbath." She said, "Shalom," in the Hebrew language. "It shall be well." And she says this to the prophet when she gets to him. "Shalom, it shall be well. How's your husband? How's your son?" "It shall be well." This woman's faith, she's believing that God's going to do something for her, even though her child has died. And so she has the faith to say, "It is well." The father knew that when the boy was sick, take him to his mother. His mother had raised him in the home while the father's out working with the workers in the fields and taking care of the needs of the family and all that thing. And the mother is training the son and no doubt teaching him the language and all those kind of things. So take him to his mother. He had confidence in her. Confidence that she would find a cure, that she would do something to help him, that she had a relationship with God. And he sends him to his mother. She kept the child on her knee until he died. And then she went after the man of God. I read that a preacher said he was raised on the knee of a godly mother and across the knees of a godly father. Gary, what is it, Gary, you say about the stars and stripes? There you go, yeah. Imagine this woman of faith to say it as well. She knows to go to the man of God that he can get hold of the Lord. It's going to take something more than a home cure. It's going to take something more than anything she could do. It's outside her control. And my friends, there's an awful lot of things we face in life that are outside our control. We've got to know how to be people of prayer. As little Julia sang with Olivia today, we can pray. We got to be people of prayer, people that can get hold of God and know how to pray. In haste, she goes and seeks the man of God to come and help her. She doesn't take any time to explain this thing to her husband. She just tells him, "Shalom, it shall be well." We sing a song, "It Is Well." It was written by a man whose wife sent him a telegram on an ocean voyage. The ship sank. And she sent the telegram, "Saved alone." It meant their children had drowned. And so the man got on a ship to go to his wife. And when the captain of the ship got to the area on the compass where the ship had gone down, he told the man, "This is where your children were lost." And he wrote the words, "It is well with my soul." God help us to be people of faith, that no matter what people say, no matter what the government says, no matter what the media says, it's well with us and God because He's still on the throne and He's in charge. We give our kids back to Him when He gives them to us as the heritage of the Lord. We bring them to the altar and we dedicate them unto God. We ask the Lord to give us strength to raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. She tells Elisha, as he sends Gehaziah, she tells him about her son, and he sends Gehaziah with his staff to lay on the boy. And if the boy had just been sick, no doubt this would have raised him up. But he was sicker than that. You remember the story of Jesus when he came down off the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew 17? And the man came to him pleading to help his son who was demon-possessed and who was destructive, trying to destroy himself, casting himself into the fire and into the water and all that sort of thing. And the disciples had tried to help the man, but they couldn't do anything with him. And so he brought him to Jesus. And Jesus immediately rebuked the devil that was in him, and the boy was of sound mind. The disciples said, "Why could not we do that?" He said, "First of all, because of your unbelief, because of your lack of faith, and then secondly, because this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting." It wasn't going to be a simple cure. If you've ever had a wayward child, I can promise you it's not simple to turn their life around. It's not simple to get them to do the right thing. It's not simple to take a child back from the devil after the devil has gotten hold of them. It's important that we walk with God and do our best to keep them from being put under that kind of a spell. The Lord is able to help. And the Lord helped the prophet of God. When he got there, no doubt it took Gehazi could run and get there quicker, and Elisha's becoming an old man. He, like me and Pete, he couldn't do anything with his feet, you know, so it took him a little longer to get there. He goes in and lays down upon the child, puts his mouth on the child's mouth, his eyes upon the child's eyes. And he gets up and he walks around and prays, and he comes back and lays upon the child again, and warmth comes into the child's body. And he sneezes 7 times, and he's raised from the dead. God has the power to do that. It was a miracle of note that he would be raised from the dead. God had raised a child from the dead through Elijah, his predecessor, and now through Elisha. Well, Elisha, you'd like to say that's the end of the story, but it's not. Goes on in his ministry, keeps doing what he's doing. He cures the poison pottage with the people. He feeds 100 with a small meal. He heals Naaman of his leprosy, telling him to go and bathe in the Jordan River. He recovers a lost axe head. You say, that's not much of a miracle. Well, when it's in a deep running stream, all he did was cut a piece of wood and throw it in there, and the axe head came back up. It was borrowed. And there's a lot of symbolism in these things and how God is working in the hearts of his people. He blinds the entire Syrian army and leads them away from the people of God so they don't have a war. And then he tells the king how there's going to be a famine. And you remember the story of how the lepers found food in the enemy camp and they came back and told the people. And we use that as an illustration of being a witness for Christ. We're just one sinner telling another sinner where to find bread. That story made Elisha a man of note with the king, and the king wanted to know more about that. Gehazi is sitting with the king 7 years later because Elisha, when he tells of this famine, calls the great woman of Shunem in chapter 8 of 2 Kings, tells her about the famine, tells her to go sojourn in another place, and she returns after the famine is over. And she has to go to the king to try to get her land back and her family back, her homeland back. And just so happens by the Lord. I love that story of Ruth, and it says it was her hap to go out in a certain field. It just happened to be the field that Boaz owned, who was a relative. It just happens that Boaz married her and raised up a child. It just happens they're in the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, God knows what's going to happen. We don't know, but to us it seems like a happenstance. But to God, he knew all along. Sends the woman away to sojourn. She comes back. She goes before the king, and it just so happens that Gehazi is sitting there telling the king about all the miracles that God has been using Elisha to do. And he says, here's this woman right now that God gave her a son. And Elisha was the one who told her about it. And so the king favored her and restored everything, plus gave her all that she had lost during the years that she was gone. Boy, that was a mighty thing that took place. You see, it didn't just happen that he said, you'll have a child, and that was the end of it. He was involved in their lives for many days to come, and she continued to serve the Lord and raise this child up. I pray that God would help us to raise our children right live before the King in a way that He's impressed with our service for God, and that we might have the power of God and the provision of God and the blessings of God upon our homes. Her relationship with the prophet continued and continued with Elisha's God. I ask you today, do you have a relationship with the Lord? Do you know Christ is your Savior? Are you sure you know how to pray and get hold of the Lord? Can you find favor with God in prayer because of your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? God loves you, gave His Son to die for. He wants you to come to Him. If you're not saved, we offer you an invitation today to come, and we'll take the Bible, show you how you can be saved. Mothers, thank God for you. May the Lord bless you and help you to be the kind of example that you need and to be able to get hold of the Lord on behalf of your children. Let's stand together. Father, we love you and thank you for this invitation time and all these folks that have gathered here today. Bless them, encourage them, draw them close to yourself, we pray. Protect our families, Lord. Help us not to go through these terrible experiences, but if we do, help us to remember that God's on the throne and that you're able. And these stories, should they speak to our heart, that we would be people of faith and believe you and trust you. Work now, we pray, because of the Lord Jesus. Amen.